the path doesn't have to be straight.
We have a lot of information that we
Your job is to have conviction to know why you value courage.
You're listening to the We Get Real AF podcast. Engage in conversations that'll spark your curiosity and challenge what you thought possible. Inventing tomorrow starts now. And here are your hosts, Vanessa Alava and Sue Robinson.
Welcome back to the We Get Real AF podcast, everyone. Sue and I are so excited to introduce today's guests. Right from our very own backyard, these two filmmakers are making big waves in the Wilmington, North Carolina film community, Christy Ray and Erica Arley. They are co-founders of Honeyhead Films, a production company with purpose, heart, advocacy, and education at its core. This dynamic team is changing the narrative for diversity in filmmaking, women in the industry, storytelling, and content production from the ground up. And they are here to chat about the amazing things they have going on at The Hive. Christy and Erica, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you so much
for joining us. We virtually met both of you this summer and were so impressed. We felt so much alignment and values between Honeyhead and Mic Drop Creative. You are doing great work, needed work, and walking the walk. So kudos. So I think that, Sue, let's just start at the top, right? Like, let's learn more about Honeyhead. Ladies, you want to take it off? Tell us about how you met, how this came to be, and what the name means, what The Hive means to you.
We should give them the 30-second, you know, we met on Craigslist.
What?
Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, I wrote the first short film I ever wanted to endeavor to direct and was casting a couple extra roles and put out a casting call on Craigslist, the very first last casting call ever. Don't know why, it was 2014, I think, before Craigslist was as sketchy as it is now. And Christy submitted for the role and she did a fabulous audition.
That's kismet, that right there. It was meant to be.
Erica was the first female director I actually worked with. And when I, you know, we met virtually, like over email, she cast me in the role. And then when I showed up on set, it was just amazing to see, you know, the similarities. Like we're the same age, we both have like really similar backgrounds, and we just instantly clicked on that set. And we've been making creative work together ever since. So Honeyhead wasn't necessarily born during that first encounter, but it was like a meant to be.
Okay. So again, you had this kismet moment, and then what was it, like a year or two later, you guys are chatting, you're like, hey, we should collaborate. Oh no, let's just start a business together. Like, get into that a little.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. we became friends after Christy and I met on that short film. We became fast friends, and we were both acting at that time. I'm not represented anymore. I don't really act as much anymore, but we have the same agent, and we would get breakdowns from our agent, and we would need to go on tape and record ourselves auditioning for roles and reading for roles. And you need to have someone off camera when you're recording an audition as your reader to do a scene with you. And so we would put each other on camera and be each other's readers. And we were just so bummed with all of the types of roles we were getting, and because they were so flat, especially as young women, you get a lot of these, you know, the supporting waitress role or the hot girl at the party, and it was not fulfilling, and it just wasn't filling our cup. So we decided that we wanted to produce our own work, and really knowing not that much about film production, we just knew what we had seen from being on set. We knew how when things worked well, we could see that was happening, and we knew when things weren't working well. We could see that from, you know, just being in front of the camera. You can watch and see, ooh, I'm being treated a way I don't necessarily like, or I see that someone's being treated this way. And I would, if I were in charge of this, which I'm not as an actor, but if I were as a director or producer or leader on set, then I would definitely do this differently to empower this person and to uplift them. And so we started making movies.
Yeah, something really unique about Honeyhead is that we're both self-taught filmmakers. So with just primarily acting background, we have restructured and rebuilt the way that film sets can operate in this mm-hmm. kind of small footprint model, that you don't necessarily need all the tools and all the things that they teach you in film school, and there is an alternative method to it. I can look back on my life as an actor. I think I had been working almost 8 or 9 years before I met Erica as a professional actress, and not really being able to put my finger on what it was that a producer did, or even like what the role of the assistant director was. It's not something as an actress you really can grasp until you do it. And I just back then had no idea I had it in me to be such a good producer or such an effective AD, and take on all these different roles that we sort of by necessity have learned how to do and execute really well with Honeyhead. It's part of our model. It's this kind of wearing many hats, as you women can relate to. And I think it's something that's inspiring, and it makes your crew happy because you have this relatability with them, and you can appreciate, you know, what they bring to the table because you've been there and you've done that as well.
So in addition to being actors and wanting to get into producing, I mean, that is a bold move to decide to start your own production company. There's a whole business angle to that. At the end of the day, it is a business. I don't know if either of you had a business background, but talk about how you launched an actual business that could generate income, and what kinds of struggles and things you faced as women going into a business, starting your own very unique production company.
I think it's a really, really important thing to touch on, Sue, is that we're self-taught entrepreneurs as well. Neither of us do have a business background at all. And when we started Honeyhead, it was more of launching a brand and less of a business, right? So we didn't incorporate Honeyhead Films LLC probably for the first three and a half years of creating content and making a splash, being advocates for women, making serial short films. I mean, we call ourselves serial short filmmakers before we started this feature film, A Song for Imogene, but all of that, those skills came at the right time, but we didn't bite off more than we could chew, so to speak.
Yeah. We still had other part-time jobs for the first couple of years that we were Honeyhead as a brand, and we were making short film content. And it's very hard to figure out if anyone is listening and knows how to create, has a business model for short film production that has a return on investment on the back end, I would love to. I would love to hear about it.
Ditto. But ditto.
Not, yeah. It's really just shorts. It's really about passion and exposure at festivals and networking. And that's what, you know, I like to tell young filmmakers when they ask about that. Well, how can I make money with a short film? And I'm like, well, it's not necessarily going to be a monetary gain, but it's a great networking tool. You go to festivals, you tour your film, you meet people, and your network is 50% of it, if not more, when it comes to the film industry. So that it's really more of a tool. So we were doing that. We were doing what was within our means, which was short film production, our own personal projects, and then projects for others. And when we decided to make the leap and we knew we wanted to go full-time with Honeyhead, we had to figure out how to translate our love for narrative storytelling into a commercial space. And so we've always been, even in the season of Honeyhead when we were doing more commercial work, we came at it with a narrative storytelling angle. And that's what created, without knowing it, we were creating our UVP. We were becoming the company that people came to, and they were like, I don't know how to put my finger on it, but I want my video to feel the way this video feels. I want to feel the way I felt watching this other project you did. And so I think that's the storytelling aspect. It's character first, it's story first, and it's heart driven.
And as Honeyhead, we've always approach narrative filmmaking from a mission-driven perspective. And so we've been able to build our brand on the fact that we really value diversity in front of and behind the lens. So even if we're working for a corporate or a commercial client or a music video or a brand film, back in the day, people would hire us and we would say, great, we're going to have a diverse cast. And great, you should let us suggest these crew members. We're not going to hire a cameraman, right? It's going to be a camera woman. We're going to diversify the people we work with and the content we create for you, which is on brand with every business these days. And we were able to, you know, become like a wheelhouse of all of these different skill sets. In addition to that, we also took on narrative clients. So young filmmakers or people with financing, but they were just screenwriters who didn't know how to get their project off the ground. They naturally and organically would start approaching Honeyhead to help them learn the steps of production. And so we became consultants very early in our career as well, and didn't necessarily know how to price that out. I think like in our early days, people would just come to us with whatever their little tiny budget was. And we would just say, okay, we can do it for that. We'll make it work. You know, whatever it is, you've got $2,000 for your short film. It's 21 pages long. What are we going to do? You know, well, let's script doctor it up for them. Of course, we'll work for free. Like this was early, early, early days. And we would do pull every string, you mm-hmm. know, all of our friends, we'd kind of like activate the community around these little tiny projects until people were just really excited about what we were doing. And then they could recognize the value. And we personally recognized the time that was going into each of these projects. And then we were able to sort of break down a budget and get ourselves paid as well. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend anyone listening to go the route that we did. You know, 3 years of like slave labor for ourselves and our passions, but it ended up building a brand that people really trust and they want to get behind, and a lot of exposure that has been really pivotal to our projects currently, you know, that we're working on. And I feel like if I could go back in time, I wouldn't change the way we did it. I just wouldn't necessarily advocate for it either. It just was like the way it happened.
And I think there's more of an angle now for business owners who are out there trying to make it in their own space, in a sense. I think that we were still coming up at a time where, you know, social media was also still kind of it had blossomed, but it was still in sort of a phase where people weren't thinking, oh, I can just go be a brand and make money and make a business of myself and just work for myself. I feel like that was still coming along, mm-hmm. that mentality that people have now of how do I learn to work for myself? And so we were learning how to do that. Neither of us come from a business background, but we just learned how, the same way we learned how to make films, we just learned how to be a business. And a lot of it came from trial and error, and learning your value. And now when we, you know, give workshops or we, you know, teach our interns or we, you know, run our summer camp, it's like that mentality transcends into all those different platforms of understanding your worth, not asking for permission, all the things we wish we had a mentor That's say exactly to us right. along the way. We like to turn around and try to give that knowledge to other people so that they can maybe bypass some of the roadblocks that we had along our journey. But like Christy said, I wouldn't change it. I feel like we learned a lot.
You know, well, you both.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
You both have mentioned so many things here, and I don't want to glaze over them because I think they're so important. The brand versus the business, I think, is huge. And that mm-hmm. ties into, you know, different forms of currency. You know, when you are an entrepreneur just starting out, you aren't making Bukoodles money. I mean, there's passion and heart there. And there are things that you need to do to be nimble and to get your name out there, but also show people what you're about. So the fact is that you built a community and people saw what you were about. And, you know, your network, that was the highest form of currency for you at the time, even though it wasn't reflecting in your bank account, but that came, I'm sure. And you know, you being actors first, I think that there's so much value there. And, you know, I'm an actress as well. And you see so much on every project. And to your point of like, what was done right, what was done mediocre, and what you definitely want to avoid in the future is huge. And how people feel, like they remember that. And you remember how you felt in certain instances, and the fact that you're integrating that into your business and how you want to run it and how you want the types of people you want to employ, the backgrounds that they come from, like it touches every piece of it. And then the biggest thing too that applies to all of this is the human connection. Your clients now that, je ne sais quoi, I don't know what that is, but I want that feeling. Like, it's human connection. Like, how am I going to feel when I watch this? And mm-hmm. the fact is that you have created that within your brand, that when someone sees what you've created, they're like, okay, this is what I want to apply to whatever it is they want to put out into the world for their business. So that's fantastic.
Are like woo-woo enough to believe that the energy you put into a project can permeate through the screen when someone's watching it. But we believe that. And the Absolutely. Way it has to feel when they're on set with us, the camera doesn't lie. Mm-hmm. And the camera person doesn't lie either. It's like their energy is reflected in the final product. And it's a miracle that any film gets made these days. But if a film gets made that's good and it's good for the world, and the way you made it is also good and good for yeah. the world, that's something that's like the ultimate goal for us and what we're always proud of accomplishing and what we put first, almost over like getting the light just right. It's like, how do people feel when they leave set or when they finish watching the product? That's our priority.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I also think as you build that ecosystem where the people that you work with feel valued, feel heard, feel safe, because I think a lot of times in the film industry, and especially for women or other minority groups, people don't feel safe. As you build that ecosystem, you're also building that network that you have of people who want to come back and want to work with you more and more, and your reputation builds as well as a company of integrity. So I think you were really smart. I also like the fact that you didn't quit your day jobs at the beginning. You just kind of worked overtime probably to get all this done so that you could have, you recognize that you were running a marathon, not a sprint. And I think that's really wise. I think a lot of times with side hustles, it's a temptation to feel I have to jump in 100% at the beginning and then I can't make it because I don't have a way to sustain myself, or it's just too much and I'm not going to try it. And I think it's really wise that you kind of, you allowed for both ways of life so that you could continue to build your business and put food on your table, because it's not easy to start out that way. And you're also doing wonderful things to help other young women learn from what you've learned through mm-hmm. Shoot Like a Girl. And we would love to have you share with us about that program and what you're doing there.
Absolutely. And I think it's a really nice segue, Sue. I feel like the brand that we built as Honeyhead is the platform that our summer camp and our curriculum stands on in this really symbiotic way. And what made the camp successful this year was all of those years of labor and work and passion that went into creating a platform. So before you try to start a summer camp, build a brand that people are going to invest in and that they care about and that stands for something, because it was really almost seamless in this way. Just the energy permeating there. Do you want to talk about what Shoot Like a Girl is like this, you know, what it started out as and what it's becoming?
Yeah, we started mentoring young girls and a couple years ago. When did we shoot Oreo?
2018.
And it started with a young girl who had this incredible script that had the theme was an anti-bullying short film written for young children. And it was a really endearing script, and we fell in love with the story and helped this young girl produce her film, and with an entirely female crew. And it was really just a lovely experience. And what we it was edited by one of our interns at that time, and it got into our festival here in the children's block. Kukulura's Film Festival was programmed there. And that was such an invigorating process for us to see a young woman and be able work with an all-female crew and be able to see herself in this role. She could look at all these other older women and say, that could be me. It was a way of demonstrating to her that what she believed would be possible. And then we had another young woman a couple years later who wanted to shoot a documentary about implicit bias in the school system and things that she had experienced as a young woman of color in her middle school environment. And so we jumped on board to help her with that. And it became this mentorship program. After that second project, we sort of coined it the Honeyhead Mentorship Program. And we really enjoyed helping these young women tell their stories, whether it was mission-driven narrative or documentary with a purpose. And that's where the genesis of the idea of Shoot Like a Girl came from.
And they were both quite young. Ella, mm-hmm. the first gal was 11, and the second girl with her documentary was 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And these girls stepped into the director role with ease, I'd say. They got to, you know, cast their project and conduct the interviews and do all the things that a director would do, and then show up at the film festival, this international acclaimed festival, as the director. And it was just really empowering for a lot of people. And when we met Sam McLeod and partnered with her, she thought, let's use this curriculum that I've built as a high school educator and combine it with the Honeyhead mentorship program, and we can create a platform to do this with high school girls. And I thought, that might be even more fun, because at 11 and 12 years old, it's really hard to kind of apply everything that goes into it. You do a lot of hand holding in that capacity. And so Shoot Like a Girl was born this summer in 2022. And we really are giving girls the tools and education and confidence that they need to tell their stories and to build community, just like we did with Honeyhead, and just pursue an interest in film, whether that's in directing, acting, producing. We had screenwriters, we had girls in our summer camp this year that were interested in every aspect of production, but they get a really well-rounded experience. It's a 14-day intensive, and we held it here at the Honey headquarters. The girls actually cast and write and direct their own narrative films, and they were really good. They were complex stories. They're partnered through Honeyhead with female DPs and editors and sound designers, so they have a really tiny small footprint crew, and we cast professional actors in their films, and we pay all these people to come and create a real environment for the girls to stretch their chops and be able to like lean on a support system. And they're mentored throughout the whole process by Sam and Erica and myself. And we help them, you know, make the best script possible. And they learn from different workshops throughout the camp. Every day we had a guest speaker that was also another female in the industry, whether that was a costume designer or a production designer or someone who works in lighting and grip, or they did cinematography workshops, and they did directing for acting. They did all kinds of breakouts and workshops. Even like mindset coach would come in and like teach them how to think positively about themselves and build these soft skills that we all know you need to work in this industry as a woman. And at the end of it, it culminates in a really fun film festival. The girls get to watch their movie at a local movie theater, and it was sold out, standing room only. They wanted to like wear prom gowns, so we made the, you know, the dress code like ridiculously overdressed, and we showed up in gowns too. And the girls just had the time of their lives. And it was just such a formative experience. Got raving 5-star reviews, and they all asked, can you do an after school program? Like, I want to keep learning, please, please, please. And so you want to talk about what happens today?
Yeah, it's our first day of our Write Like a Girl after school program. So we've now, Sam has built a month-long four-class after-school program that's about 2 hours after school for girls to come. Anyone, they don't have to have gone to camp. They can come and they can write a script and have it workshopped. And then next month, we're also launching a once-a-week writing, directing, acting workshop. So directing, basically acting for directors, is sort of how we're going to structure it, so that you can kind of get your feet wet in learning about directing, where that comes from, how to talk to actors, and then we'll probably grow into weekend workshops and things like that, as the goal to keep the momentum throughout the year, so it isn't just something that happens in the summertime.
Amazing.
Incredible.
Congratulations, oh first of all. And second of all, I just want to say, like, on top of this amazing experience that you've offered up to these young ladies, which again, they're seeing it, they're going to believe it, they can do it. You're building a pipeline, which Sue and I always talk about, building the pipeline of women to continue down this trajectory, because it's so, as we know, difficult sometimes, especially with a male-driven industry, which film has been traditionally for a long time. And thankfully, now you're starting to see all these amazing women like, hey, I'm here, I've been here, I'm doing it, now I'm doing this too. So yeah, just, this is fantastic. And I'm so excited for you both on expanding this.
Thank you. Yeah, the workforce development piece was a big part of this too. we have a lot of collegiate interns that come and work at Honeyhead over the years. I think our first intern was in 2017, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And we noticed that there was a bit of gap in education with the young women, you know, even as juniors and seniors in college, that they weren't as confident as the young men. Some of them were at, you know, in their penultimate season in university, and they still hadn't even really touched a camera, mm-hmm. and they wanted to be in film, and they were often pushed to the side, or they didn't have the confidence to raise their hand and say, I want to direct the film, or I want to hold the camera and be the cinematographer. Mm-hmm. So often they were the first ADs, or they were hair and makeup, or just a production assistant. And it's kind of like pushed into these roles that women are often pushed into in the industry, and away from technical roles and away from leadership roles. And so we would take them under our wing when they came into Honeyhead as interns and try to empower them, but it really needed to start sooner, was what we were realizing. Is, wouldn't it be great if these gals came out of high school already with a leg up and some experience and some knowledge that would allow them to walk into a university setting with a lot of confidence, so that they could get more out of their experience there. So that was also a big part of why Shoot Like a Girl was born, was because we wanted to be able to hire these young women and continue to work with them, you know, but we wanted, once they were through college, for them to be able to step out and get join the workforce instead of, you know, doing continuing education, or, you know, plodding away for the next few years until they had enough experience to be hireable. We wanted them to be hireable right out of university.
And also, we'd love to hire them.
Yeah.
You know, as we grow and expand as Honeyhead, we crewed our feature film, A Song for Imogen, with 70% women. And that was really fun and amazing to do, but it's almost still really challenging. It's not almost challenging. It was hard. It's mm-hmm. difficult to find enough women to fill 70% positions. There just aren't quite enough yet. And people should be working to build that. They should be having prerequisites to apprenticeships and internship mm-hmm. programs. And exactly what Erica said, that workforce development piece, we want to scale Honeyhead to be a female-led studio. And how are we going to hire all these amazing women if they just aren't really around, right? So having girls that are amazing screenwriters and directors because they've been working on it since they were 14 years old. I mean, think about when you start dance class as a young girl, or music lessons, or acting, you do theater and things. Why shouldn't you be building those skills to become a desirable and hireable member of the film community at a young age? It feels like just a good thing to put energy into. Mm-hmm. It's a win-win all around.
Absolutely. And I imagine it's a lot of fun too, to work with those girls, because you're giving them an opportunity that they haven't had before. You know, when Vanessa and I started this podcast, we started out focusing on science, technology, engineering, and math, because those are the fields that you hear so often women are underrepresented. And it is true. But one of the interesting statistics we learned along the way was that young girls will be really interested in those fields up until about kindergarten, or they are able to see themselves as a leader in a mixed gender group up until about kindergarten. And then after about that 5 to 6 year old age, they start, if you ask them who's the leader in a group, they'll point to a boy. Mm-hmm. Also, interestingly, those same girls who are really interested in science, technology, engineering, and math, like they really love math classes, are they'll start to peel away from that between middle school and high school. And what I'm hearing you say is that the same thing is true in the arts. And that's why, you know, we now talk about STEAM and throwing the arts in there. And Vanessa and I've had this conversation, because I don't think that that's realized as much either, that women who are in, typically there are a lot of women in the arts, but they're not in some of these roles that they need to be in because they can't see themselves. And if you see a mentor like the two of you, and you see somebody who's willing to reach their hand back and take grasp of yours and pull you along and show you what they do, that's when you really do start to fill that talent pipeline. I'm wondering if there, because your program is so awesome, are there other places around the country that you're partnering with to spread it? Because it seems like, you know, there's a lot of opportunity out there.
Absolutely. Our producing partner, Andrea Nordgren, lives in Denver, Colorado. She helped us produce A Song for Imogen, our feature, and she's from the Chicago area originally, and she's the first person we're going to be partnering with to expand this program beyond North Carolina. But we've also had interest in your neck of the woods, like in Cary. The folks at the Beyond Film Festival are wanting to hear eagerly about how it went and how we could possibly branch out to Wake County, which feels like not a big stretch for us at all. Sam, our business partner in Shoot Like a Girl, she's a former Wake County educator, and she actually worked with county officials to build all the curriculum for the English courses and also did this program. It was co-ed in high school. You know, she had boys and girls both go through it, but she's been able to really refine it. And she has a huge reach in Wake County as well. So we're thinking as soon as maybe early next spring, having like weekend workshops for Shoot Like a Girl in the Triangle area in North Carolina, and then trying to take the summer camp to Denver in the next 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yay. Mm-hmm. Yay. Another thing that I just feel needs to be said, and I want to just praise you for this because I think it's so important. As creators, in this industry, for some reason, as open-minded as we are, we sometimes, not in this group, I don't think, but traditionally, people have been so divisive in the lines in the sand as to you're in production, you're a performer, oh, you work in unscripted television, you work in scripted television, oh, you're in animation. There have been so many divisions as to like what you can and can't do. And as creatives, that's so limiting. So I love that you're teaching these girls, like the classes that you're adding into this program, like the directing for, wait, acting for directing. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Like things like that, where it's like, expand your skills. The more skills you have, the better. And as an actress, you should be able to create your own content, because that's only going to add value to you. And eventually you will be able to create the stories you'd like. We are the prime example of that. That's what we wanted to do. We wanted to create opportunities for ourselves on screen. We wanted to tell the stories from underrepresented voices. We're creating those stories. So the same should go for anybody in this creative field. Like, don't feel limited. And you're showing young girls that you can do anything. You can step behind the camera. You can be in front of the camera. You should be able to do that. And you should be exploring and adding to your resume, because the more you add, the better for you, the better opportunities are going to come, and opportunities that you can create for yourself.
I agree. And I think part of the university system must be a little flawed if they're not promoting that. You know, it's like you have to choose a lane when you're in film school. Mm-hmm. And how will you know if you've never had a chance to ask questions in a safe environment and to touch the camera and learn about f-stop and like learn about shutter speed and things? Like, you don't want to be the gal in the back that's asking, oh, can you explain what that is, when all the boys seem to like already know and they've had their hands on a camera before. Or maybe they don't know, they just pretend like they do because they have this like built-in confidence. I think that the university system is a little bit flawed in that way. So we're just teaching them how we grew up learning, which was doing exactly what you're saying, is just trying all the hats on and mm-hmm. having a great appreciation for what other people bring to the table, and being able to relate to all different department heads.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, I would love, we've mentioned the name a few times, A Song for Imogen, which is a film that you both worked on in 2022. Please share what that experience was like, what the kind of a synopsis of the story, and where we can potentially see it once it's completed.
Yeah, so a Song for Imogen is a wonderful journey that started in 2015 as a short film that I wrote in this season, same season we've been talking about, when Chrissy and I were really starved for roles that we felt inspired by. And so I was, when we really wanted to play on-screen sisters. So I wrote a short film for both of us that was set in the rural South. It was 7 pages, and we produced it. It was written in 2015. We produced it in 2017. And that was kind of it. It was about two sisters who are grappling with, you know, the passing of their mother and what to do with her estate. And the older sister, who Christy played, is planning to sell the house and the property and then go move back with her boyfriend. And it's alluded in the script that he's abusive, but she's stuck in sort of this cycle of abuse with him. It's alluded to, the mother was abusive emotionally. So it's kind of talking about these intrinsic issues that exist in rural communities, not just in the South, but, you know, across the country, where people get stuck in these cycles of poverty and they can't seem to free themselves. And then with that can sometimes come cycles of abuse, whether it's emotional, physical, financial, any of these things. And people were enthralled by the characters when they saw the finished film in festival circuit and kept asking when we were going to turn it into a feature film. And at the time we didn't have any plans to.
We should mention it was a zero budget.
Oh, zero budget.
So yeah, not even like, you know, $1,000 or $500. I mean, it was no money at all. And we had an amazing group of people from our hive come out and help us direct and shoot and production manage, you know, the 3-person crew that made it possible. And when we watch the film back, it's like buried in the vault. You know, we don't let people see it very often, but we watch it.
It's a little cringe.
They played it on NPR a couple weeks ago and they didn't tell us they're going to do it in the interview. And like, they just did the sound. Like, it was like, everyone listen to this. And we're like, not the sound. You know, what are we recording on? Like an H4 Zoom, and that was it. And it was just
a Zoom. But
back when you're just scrappy enough to tell a story. So it was character driven in this way. Mm-hmm. And when Erica says people were enthralled with the characters, they really were. They weren't necessarily enthralled with, you know, the production design or like the coloring. It wasn't a perfect film, right? But people cared so much about these two women. And it's our debut feature film now. That film was called Lorelei, and it's been turned into this feature-length script Erica wrote in 2020 called A Song for Imogene. And she basically went back in time and figured out the genesis of the short, which is a slice of life. So instead of saying, what happens next, she started the film with, well, how do they get to this point? And brought in the backstory and explored, you know, a lot of different themes of women's issues and how they're explored in the American South and these cycles of poverty and abuse. But also it's like, it became this sister story of rekindling their adult relationship after so many years apart. And so that's the part that's like really fun and hopeful about the movie. We were able to move into production this summer and we wrapped principal photography in 21 days. We started June 1st and we wrapped June 30th. And right now Erica is working on the edit with our editor. They're already done with the first assembly. So we're on like a pretty quick timeline with post. Like I said before, the crew was 70% women, which is incredible. All of our producers are females. Our financiers are females in North Carolina. So we have this like really amazing grassroots women-led movement. And the story obviously centers around these two sisters. So it's something that bleeds everything we talk about and we champion at Honeyhead, but it's also like our baby. We've been waiting and like building our brand for so long to be able to launch this project. And Erica's the writer director, and I play the lead character, and I'm one of the producers on the project. And I'm just like always on cloud 9, knowing that it finally happened. You know, to be working so long on a project like that, it's like before the origin of Honeyhead, we were just envisioning these characters, and to see them fully fleshed out. And there's been like name changes and fun developments along the way that have happened really organically, but our growing audience has really committed to, you know, celebrating this film with us. And I'm excited about where it's going. Do you want to talk about festivals for it?
Mm-hmm. Our plan is to have festival distribution next year in 2023. So we're targeting the film to be completed in like late February, early March 2023, so that we can premiere it in the fall.
Well, that's amazing. Congratulations to you both. And we want to see it. So yes. Keep us posted about it, because that's really awesome.
Absolutely. And I think that we've obviously incorporated all of these themes into the main conversation here. But, you know, season 4 for us on We Get Real AF is highly leaning into, you know, impacts on society, representation, and why that matters. Can you both just give a piece of, you know, Honeyhead, and when you say purpose driven, like, what does that mean for you? You know, you mentioned obviously women and the amazing programs you have, but why does it matter? Why does it matter for you?
You want to do?
The big why for Honeyhead, I think, permeates in like a greater need for the world in this way. Earlier, before we started recording, we were talking about the way that people are now picking up the pace and there's efforts around changing the landscape for women. And I think that when Erica and I started our company, we weren't really thinking about all that noise, like the Me Too movement and the things hadn't already happened and they hadn't taken off. So the brand that we sort of organically built by just being ourselves in this way has become, it's like in step with the way the world is going. And so to me, it always feels like you're building this female filmmaker empire and all it's doing is permeating and creating opportunities. This motto of lifting while climbing is something that we champion with everything that we're doing. So with our feature film, with the Shoot Like a Girl summer camp, with our mentorship programs, with the work that we set out to, you know, influence other people who hire us. How can we extend this opportunity and create more roles for women behind the scenes? I think that it's just the bigger why. You know, when you're a creative person, it's hard to find motivation, self-motivation sometimes. And if you are working towards a bigger goal and a bigger purpose, that's just more of intrinsic motivation to do good in the world and to have a greater impact than just being a creative person who's putting out a product for people. I think living in like a world where we're just inundated with media and people are just constantly producing, it's hard to feel like you're not always in the rat race of trying to keep up. So having a greater purpose that we, you know, it's not like we sat down and decided, like strategized about it. Well, if we create a brand that people care about and we, you know, do all this for women, like people will invest in our work. That wasn't the goal. It's like, it just happened organically. So it's like in the heartbeat of what we do. It's hard to really articulate, but I think that kind of sums it up for me.
Yeah, I think it's about making space at the table for yourself. Because we realized very early on, no one was going to do it for us and there needed to be a change. That's definitely how my perspective is. I wanted to do all these things and just needed to learn how to do everything, basically. I was like, well, if it's going to take making a film in order to see myself, you know, and Christy and anyone else in roles that we actually want to be in and be able to do the things we want to be doing, then we're not going to be able to just go around and wait for someone to cast us. Say it's like being an actor and you're waiting for someone to cast you and no one's just going to like miraculously, you know, give you a handout in this way. So just trying to figure out how to make it for yourself. And that's where wearing all the hats sort of came from, was from saying, okay, well, if I want to make a film, I'm going to have to write a film. I'm going to have to direct it, sometimes shoot it, and then learn how to edit it and then figure out where it goes afterward. So the self-taught mentality came from kind of like elbowing our way into a seat at the table and then realizing that it doesn't have to be this hard for other people. You know, if we just set an example, then we can make it easier for other women, you know, and other people who haven't traditionally, you know, felt like they had a voice in media, and we can be the people that can turn around and hold the door open so that other people don't have to necessarily do it that way. Because not everyone, you know, lives with their friends when they're in their early 20s and pays like a small rent. And so they can afford to have like a small part-time job and do what we were able to do. Not everyone always has that sort of life opportunity that we had that allowed us to incubate a brand like that and to do work for free and to produce narrative content in that way. So it's important, I think, to just remember that and remember that the work you do, if you worked hard, it shouldn't breed resentment. And the mindset shouldn't be, oh, well, now they have to work hard because I had to work hard. It's like, I worked hard to make it easier for other people so that, you know, there can be more familiar faces with us the next time we produce something.
Yeah.
There's this expression, you know, be the change that you want to see in the world. Yeah. And I feel like the two of you are really walking that. And that's what Vanessa and I are trying to do as well. And also I feel like sometimes it's so hard to get inside a company or inside a production, the production industry an existing entity and try to change it from within. And sometimes you just have to step outside and create something of your own. And then other people who share your values will be attracted to you, and you can grow sometimes a lot quicker and make more of an impact more quickly than going in and slogging through trying to make that space at the table, as you were describing. You know, you've done so much over the past several years since you founded, since you met each other, which was back in, was it 2000? What year was that?
We met in 2015. And we did our first short film as Honeyhead in late 2016. So it's been, you know, going on 6 or 7 years. Yeah.
So my thought is, as you look back over that 6 to 7 years and you sort of take that 30,000 foot view, how do you feel each of you has, what's the biggest change that you've seen in yourself over that time?
Oh, I think about the 30,000 foot view. I haven't thought about like the change in myself yet. So I'm going to have to like, something will come to me maybe as I ramble, but the 30,000 foot view is really interesting. And I think it's important for people listening to know that there was no master plan and that sometimes that's okay to not know where you're going. Sorry about the lawn noise. They're cutting the lawn outside, if y'all can hear that.
No problem.
It's all good.
Maybe something that I've seen in myself is the ability to have a little bit more of a perspective of direction and to be able to sit down and think, well, where do we want to be going and how do we get there? So strategy, maybe strategizing and not winging it as much. I think a lot of really great things came from winging it, but I do feel that we're both a little bit more disciplined in like knowing that now we have all these tools and we have this platform. What are we going to do with it? Because it's obviously going to come back tenfold and boomerang around to work for us because we sacrificed so much to make it happen. Maybe that's something that's changed.
I think I started out in the capacity of just casting a very wide net and, you know, wanting to be able to do everything so that I could just know it could happen, whether that was, you know, for Honeyhead or for someone else. I just wanted to have all the skill sets, technical skill sets that I could in order to know that a project could happen. And, you know, whether or not, you know, that's shooting, editing, you know, writing, directing, whatever it was, I just wanted to be able to know that it could happen. And that I wouldn't have to rely on other people in order to make it happen. Cause that had been my experience, was that I couldn't necessarily rely on people, you know, to prioritize something, especially if it was a passion project. So I think a mindset shift for me was learning, okay, I've developed a skill set in all these different areas, but what do I really want to be doing? And how do I learn to say no? And how do I learn to accept help from other people who might be really passionate about post-production? And because I am a good editor doesn't mean that I necessarily want to edit all the time. And so how can I identify people who enjoy this aspect of something and empower them to do it, you know, and create space for them so that I can keep, you know, narrowing in my focus in order to grow, because when you're spread so thin, you can't move forward because you're just oozing in all these different directions. So the ooze, like, you need to be able to control that energy, you know, instead of spreading yourself out so much, you know. So I think in order to grow the company, there was a need to center in on what it is I actually wanted to be doing as a creative person, not just what could I do, but what did I want to be doing? I think that's the big focus. If I jump up to 30,000 feet and look down.
And I think that marries what I kind of pulled away to, that narrowing in and that like saying, no, thanks, we don't want to shoot your real estate video. Just purpose driven. So we don't need that job. That's okay. It will like be an opportunity to open the door for something else, and trusting that strategy is like, okay, you got to kind of jump off the cliff and be, you know, willing to say no to things that aren't part of like the bigger vision. Yeah.
And it's hard. I mean, it's easier said than done sometimes, especially, you know, again, because finances, money is a thing, right? I mean, that's part of these conversations of like, I want to be doing something that fulfills, you know, my passion, and it's needed in the world, but I also need to live and pay my bills. Mm-hmm. So that's easier said than done. So kudos mm-hmm. to you for doing that, because that's something that Sue and I are constantly like, okay, we want to be doing amazing projects and we want to be doing things that are purpose driven. So even though something might have, you know, dollar signs attached to it, does it align? Does it come back to the mission? And sometimes if it doesn't, it's making that decision to say, okay, well, we need to move on and the right thing will come at the right time when it's supposed mm-hmm. to.
Right.
Go ahead.
I was just going to add, you know, the other thing that y'all mentioned that I think is a key takeaway, especially for anybody with a creative brain out there, is we're curious and we want to learn how to do all the things. And there is a time in your business and in your career where you kind of do have to be a Jill of all trades, but it's allowing yourself, to your point, to narrow that down so that you can get momentum. I love that you use the word ooze because I think it's true. If you stay in that spot where you're trying to do all the things and be an expert at all of them, mm-hmm. you really don't ever get a chance to master any of them thoroughly. And you rob yourself of that momentum that is so critical to having any kind of creative and business success. So I just wanted to call that out as well.
Yeah.
No, and I think also going back to like choosing projects, it's also choosing who you want to work with, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like just finding people that have the synergy that you do, that have the same values, that have the vision and end goal potentially of like the type of content they're creating. And those are few and far between, especially in this industry where so many people are trying to make an impression and sometimes lose themselves in that, you know, because they're trying to fit themselves to a mold that someone else already has created in their brain and they're trying to manipulate themselves versus really staying true to themselves. So I think that there's a lot of power that comes with, again, creating your own content, taking the reins and saying, these are the people that get it. You know, these are the people that are not trying to be somebody else. These are the people that really want to be the movers and shakers and really disrupt things in a positive way versus doing something that everyone else is trying to do and chase after that, because that will eventually go away or not be in anymore. To your point, like earlier, Christy, you were mentioning that, you know, this, you were doing this before it was, you know, trendy, if you will, mm-hmm. you know, for all mm-hmm. intents and purposes. And Sue and I have that conversation too, you know, like before it was like out there, like we were just wanting to do something that was putting positive things into the world, things that needed to be in existence that weren't, or they were far and few between. So I think that there's something to be said for that as well. Again, you guys are doing it. We're so excited to be, you know, in each other's networks and just have, amazing women that are supporting each other and pulling up chairs to the table versus, you know, seeing competition and saying, no, you know, because again, that's another thing that comes up in this industry far too much. So it's just so refreshing to meet people that are in that like-minded space.
Absolutely. We appreciate your time today. Is there anything else y'all want to add before we let you get back to your day?
Just be on the lookout when we bring She Like a Girl your way. We'd love for you to be involved. We definitely
want to. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. That sounds so fun. I know. Yes. That would be so fun. Would love to do that.
Yes, absolutely. We're moms at the end of the day too. So, you know, Sue has three granddaughters. I have two young children. One is a fearless 5-year-old little girl, and I have a 2-year-old son coming up next month. And it's just as important for me to show him how women should be treated and that they are equal and all the things that we empower our young girls with. So count us in. We're there.
Absolutely. 100%.
Thank you so much, ladies.
And thank you.
Before we go, I am so sorry. Please let people know how they can reach out to you, because again, I love how accessible you both are. If they want to learn more about you and connect with you, where do they go?
Definitely encourage people to visit our website, honeyheadfilms.com. And we're all over social media at Honeyhead Films on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. What are the things? We're not really on YouTube.
Yeah.
Also, if you're interested in learning more about Shoot Like a Girl, you can go to shootlikeagirl.info and there's an interest list. We'd be very happy for anyone, you know, whether or not you're in North Carolina, whether or not you have a child in high school or you are a high schooler or you just want to be involved, maybe you're an actor, you're a crew member and you know, you want to get on the mailing list. We have a database of growing interested partners and people who, you know, have reached out. A lot of people, adult women have said, are you ever going to do this for adults? I would do a weekend workshop in a heartbeat. So all of that is kind of changing and morphing how we approach the business. So shootlikeagirl.info, you can register for after school classes if you're here in Wilmington. And if not, you can join our interest list. And Imogene has a website as well.
Yeah. Imogenemovie.com or at Imogenemovie on Instagram. If you want to follow the journey of the feature film and hear about how things are going and see some behind the scenes and catch anything we've released. We're working on our distro and marketing strategy right now. So you can kind of stay tuned to those platforms to learn more about that.
We are looking forward to seeing all the amazing things that you two ladies will continue to achieve in the future. And we really appreciate your time with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, girls.
Thank you.